This is ensemble member Alana Arenas, and you're listening to the Steppenwolf Theater Company podcast.
Hi, I'm Polly Carl, Director of Artistic Development here at Steppenwolf Theater Company, and I am with Laurie Metcalf, who is one of the cast members of Detroit, which will be opening our season here on September 19th. Laurie, I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about why you were drawn to this particular script. I know you have a lot of scripts you could choose from to do. What made you want to come back to Steppenwolf and do this one?
Well, I was sitting in New York when Martha sent me this one, and I didn't know Lisa's work. And she had me by about page 3. It only got better as I read along. But I'm drawn to really contemporary shows anyway. And what I find about her writing is that it's a lot of, it is molded around pure behavior. And it's 5 very juicy parts, and we all interact really tightly. And it's been cool. I knew that it would be, and it has been cool to find that rhythm of the play and to be able to show just through the behavior, you know, how our relationships shift and what we find out about each other during the course of it. I love the humor in it. I love that it's the kind of sort of bare-boned writing that I sort of do compare to Bruce's work, Bruce Norris's work, that is, as we were talking earlier on the walk over here, wildly open to interpretation. A lot happens between the lines. And I get a kick out of this type of behavior, especially when somebody maybe says something inappropriate and the audience eagerly looks around to the rest of the cast to see how are they going to handle it. It's very identifiable that way.
And your character, Mary, is an interesting mix. She's kind of has a Martha Stewart side, interested in the domesticity is the word I want,
right.
And also references her desire to live in the woods, in a tent in the woods. Talk about that dualism of her character and how you perceive that in the play.
Well, it's sort of perfectly is a perfect metaphor just right there of the theme that Martha's chosen for this season, which is the public-private self. So my character is very easily able to present the public self, and that has to do with, you know, obviously the laying out of the hors d'oeuvres, the facade of how my family is run or how I run my household, you know. Now, it's an easy thing to do, and it gives a good impression, but it might not really be what's going on behind closed doors. And in fact, you find that out about all four of the main characters, that the facade that they present isn't necessarily the true one.
Yeah, there's a kind of a shaky foundation that runs through the course of the play, and
right.
Your character has her own sort of shaky elements. What do you think are at the sort of the roots of her, shakiness?
Well, they all have esteem issues, I think. you know, it's funny. Yeah, they're all shaky people, and they're in shaky relationships, and now they're all going to all have some shaky evenings together. So it's all magnified. It's got like an earthquake effect, you know, like to go from magnitude 5 up to 6. You're it's huger than you think, you know. So you get them all in a room together, and they're trying to impress each other, hide things, show off, present themselves as in great relationships. You know, it all comes crumbling down. My character is not necessarily the biggest culprit of any of this, but she's definitely right there in the mix, leading the way. In a sense, I think my character is that type A, take charge, you know, just try and force this issue of us all sitting down and getting along. These are two couples that I don't think that they would bond over much at all, really. But you put them in houses with a sort of a communal backyard together, and no border, no dividing line, and so they're going to have to interact somehow. They're trying so hard to figure out how they can communicate, and it doesn't line up.
And there's a line in the play very early on where Ben says, we don't have any friends. Mm-hmm. Well, why do you think Ben and Mary, perfectly respectable couple, at least by all appearances, are in a situation living in this kind of first-tier suburb where they don't have any friends?
Well, yeah, I mean, he says it, and I object to it. So it's all, as in the whole show, a lot of this is a gray issue. You know, it might just be idle, you know, it's just kind of an icebreaker on his part. It could be that they don't have friends. But you're right, I think that they don't, really. They're very isolated. Some of it comes from their environment in this suburb that, you know, we've talked about in rehearsal, where it was designed to for people to rely on their neighbors. But I think unless you have children in common, you tend to be a little more isolated from your neighbors. And if they're in the backyard, you go out the front and you drive everywhere anyway. So there isn't that mix going on. Ben has just lost his job, so he's very isolated and staying at home trying to figure out what to do next. And my character does have a job but has a drinking problem. So that in itself, I think, keeps her a little more isolated than she might be. And as a couple, they have decided to keep those issues personal and at home.
And we talked, I said this earlier, but over the whole kind of arc of the play, there's an attempt to maintain this kind of button-down domesticity, and yet it's a very physical play. And in fact, I think one of my favorite moments in rehearsal was when you decided to do the worm in one of the scenes.
Thank you.
It was lovely.
I don't know if it'll stick, but if we get enough hits, I'll keep it.
I'm personally rooting for the worm. But talk a little bit about the physical elements of the play.
Well, it's in her writing also, and another thing that attracted me to it. They just bust loose, you know. I don't want to give too much away, but these people, there's a sense of danger about the play, which I really like. There's a little whiff of it in the air because they are all so shaky that if one of them blows, they're all going to blow. It's like a powder keg. So we blow. We blow towards the end, and we get to do some outrageous things. The worm is on the bottom rung, I would say, of that scene. It goes up from there. So it's, you know, I had somebody ask me, oh, I read the play and you guys all have to act like idiots, basically, you know, in this one scene. Is that hard for you? And I thought, no, not at all. I mean, it you know, it should be, but pathetically it isn't, because in my deluded actor mind, I'm hiding behind a character. When I look at it straight, I'm doing this stuff on stage, you know, and it is me. But we get to cut loose and tear it up a little bit, and that excited me about when I read the show. It's a hard scene, and we're like mapping it out right now. It's oddly technical. I know it sounds vague, but I don't want to say what really happens.
No, we can't give it away. But
so, it's a workout.
And talk about you. I know are very interested in the directors you work with, and you were very enthusiastic to work with Austin. Talk about Austin Pendleton as as a director.
Yeah, I worked with him the last time I was here, which has been way too long, and one of the reasons that I also came back. I like Austin's directing because he's hands off. I was talking to him about this the other day. He trusts, I think, the cast that he's put together and to find their way for a while, and then when we hit a bunch of dead ends, he steps in and says, now do this, this, and this. And, you know, you know that you're in good hands, and he's so funny and praises us so much in the room, and geez, that sounds like a babyish need for an actor, and it is, but he makes you want to work for him because he's so generous with, you know, his time and his thoughts about what you're doing and his feedback, and really, it's a really positive, fun room to work in. And even though, weirdly, I'm working with, you know, it's an all Steppenwolf ensemble, which is kind of rare, and Austin directing also, I haven't worked with the majority of the people, which is a shame, but I've known them for forever. And so I wondered what it would be like in the rehearsal room, but I find that because we've all known each other for so many years and seen each other's work and been in that exact same rehearsal room with other people, granted, it's like we have worked together.
It's certainly from an outsider's perspective and my first opportunity to be in the room with you and most of the other ensemble members, there's a vocabulary that you seem to speak that everybody kind of knows, and it seems like that really facilitates the process in a way that deepens the possibilities for the work.
I think we get a jump start on where we are in the process. Any cast anywhere is going to form an ensemble because you bond and you, after the initial dust settles, you all find a way to work together. So this we just bypass a little bit maybe the week that takes to happen, you know, so it's a luxury.
Well, in the spirit of the play, I promised that I would ask you one perhaps inappropriate question.
The inappropriate is the word. That is the spirit of the play.
It's the spirit of the play. So I, in preparation for the interview, read your Wikipedia page. I don't know if you've been at your Wikipedia page, but there's a little tidbit on that page that says you have a nickname, Crazy Pants. And I'm just wondering if that's...
You know what? Does it say who said that? Who called?
No.
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, it's, you know, in my blur of seasons past, years past, I recollect that nickname. And to tell you the truth, I cannot for the life of me remember where it's from. And, you know, somebody, by God, does know.
Well, it perhaps may
It'll
reemerge.
Be solved.
May reemerge in the course of the next couple of
weeks.
Yes, that's good. Well, Lori, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. And for more information on upcoming Steppenwolf productions and on Detroit, please visit us online at steppenwolf.org. Thank you so much.